In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Fan, Tommy DeVito with the crown topic of the day. A unique one today, BT. We're talking about Tommy DeVito, but more in the aspect of Giant fans. Are they going to be winning for this team to, or rooting for this team to win and start to have some fun, or rooting for the tank? You know me, I'm not a believer in the tank and all that stuff, especially now. I know that the wins ultimately aren't going to mean a ton for the Giants here the rest of the way, but with Tommy DeVito, he's going to bring an element of fun. As a sports fan, you should be having fun rooting for your team to win some games, which now you hope would be a possibility with the energy that Tommy DeVito is going
to
provide.
It's hard to have fun when there's some guy that you have no emotional connection to, that would be Drew Lock, or somebody that you know is no longer, you know, worthy of being the starting quarterback and you're ready to move on from, that would be Daniel Jones. So it's unfair to expect Giant fans to conjure up any sort of positivity or hope or, you know, recapture the fandom that has been trounced by both of these horrendous teams, but obviously specific to the Giants. And the stadium's been like a funeral. It's been really dark and sad for a while. It's just a big cloud hovering over MetLife. And here's the boy from Cedar Grove, who at least proved he could play a little bit. This is not just,
that's
what I'm saying. Right. Let's not just trot out the mascot who's got Jersey roots and is Italian and we can play all those stereotypes and have a little fun to divert everybody from the reality of how much we suck. Now, DeVito last year earned the right to get a look this year, and I can't wait to watch him play. And I think Giant fans have totally changed. Once they heard the announcement, the positivity's kicked in, the hope is kicked in, and the energy's back, which is great.
Which should make sports fun, at least in a town where we don't have a good football team now. Obviously, the Jets have been a total disappointment with Aaron Rodgers and all the expectations and them falling short. And the Giants have had a disappointing year. Even without the high expectations, they still have fallen short of where they were supposed to be. And DeVito just makes it fun. And I don't think, you know, you always bring up the local stuff, and I get it, and that's part of why.
I love that stuff. Yeah. I've always been that guy.
Yeah, and me, I don't care if they came from my backyard or another country. Like, to me, as long as you get the job done, that's all that I care about. But I'd be foolish to think that it wasn't a part of the story here. Like, with DeVito, that's what makes it fun. Local kid, Italian, and all the, you know, the gimmicks or whatever you want to say, and all the stereotypes. Everybody's leaning into that. I just want to see him go out there and play, and I do remember watching last year DeVito play quarterback. While he wasn't lighting it up, or the Giants offense wasn't lighting it up, I remember thinking to myself, damn, this kid's making some good throws here. Like, he's got the intangibles, he's got the stones, he's got the energy, he's got the confidence, those things we love, but he's also made some good throws as well. So this is not just about short-term fun and maybe beating the Bucs on Sunday at home for a change, which they desperately need before the season ends, a home win, or beating the Cowboys on Thanksgiving on national TV. It's also about finding out what DeVito is, whether he could be a gap starter next season, a real starter. Who knows what could happen for Tommy DeVito?
Yeah, I've listened. I think that that's what's open to interpretation. That's what makes this exciting. You know, if they were 1-15 and they throw him a bone in the final game to have 10 more thousand people show up, whatever, and you already know they're locked into the first choice and it's somebody who's deemed by everybody to be worthy of the first choice, you know that the Giants quarterback moving forward would not be DeVito. In this situation, based on the fact that they could win a couple of games, there's uncertainty, which would obviously impact where they draft. Mm-hmm. There's uncertainty with some of the top prospects in college this year. I don't know. I think it's fun. And I think he could be anything from a blip on the radar to a viable backup moving forward to maybe at the highest level, maybe a bridge player to help get the Giants from here to a competitive space. But it's funny. Whenever the local stuff comes up, right, and you've always been upfront about this, and I have too, like Mark Jackson getting drafted by the Knicks out of St. John's, that was just top shelf stuff for me.
Right.
Even when Marbury came back, and you know, I didn't think it was the perfect trade, and the Knicks were a mess, but I'm like, all right, Lincoln's Own, you know, Bell Parkway, three exits from where my parents are still off the Bell Parkway. Now, what do you think it was like when Lee Mazzilli came up for the old school Brooklynites? Lee Mazzilli, a Lincoln kid playing for the Mets, like, That's always excited me. You know, most of the stories don't work out. Mark Jackson got hurt, then he was dealt. Marbury bombed, and then, of course, Lee Mazzilli had a good Mets start. Eventually, he was traded. Not a great player. Great guy. Not a great player. Good player, and then he bounced around a little bit. These things very rarely work. Even Bernard King moved on, and I could give you a million other stories or examples, but I don't know. Maybe this is the one in 100 that sticks, and I'm really hoping it does.
Yeah, and for me, it's just stick as a quarterback, regardless of where he came from. Let me ask you before we get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. As a sports fan, what do you think is more fun to root for over the course of the final seven games? More fun to root for Tommy DeVito to have success and win and say go 5-2, whatever it may be? Or, as a sports fan, either not watch the team or watch the team and root for them to lose so you could have a higher draft pick that might one day turn into a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the former.
I don't know if it's obvious.
I'm saying to me, it's obviously that the way you line that up.
It should be. Yeah, it should be. But a lot of people, because they don't want to have fun as a sports fan anymore, they want to be analytical and get caught up in stuff that is just not meant. Like, it is not meant to be for the sports fan to rooting for the draft pick. That's not what sports fandom was.
I didn't say that once growing up.
Correct.
I really did. I think the first time I heard that and I wasn't rooting for it was when Ewing was drafted first overall. And I wasn't thinking that. 23 wins, I think, the previous year. I wasn't thinking about, I was just watching St. John's play Georgetown.
Correct. And that's kind of my point, you know? Where it's become such a mainstream thing now. Tank, get a better draft pick, build it that way. In all sports, I mean, maybe prominently in football and basketball, but in all sports, like, oh, I'll lose, get a better draft pick, oh, it's going to cost you this or that. Like, yeah, maybe, but that's not what sports fandom was intended to be. It's about fun.
Yeah, it should be, but I've got to defend those who, in certain situations, and I've been there as well, who do root for the implosion and the higher pick. Now, there's the caveat for this year. There's no Peyton Manning coming out. There's no, even though there was a debate back then, should Ryan Leaf go one and Peyton too? But Peyton was thought to, and a few others along the way, no doubt, all-timers, lock and load, and here we go.
Tank for Trevor.
Yeah, it didn't work out. I get it. No, I'm saying they don't always work out. But I think that why it's become more amplified, number one, with social media, everybody's basically a pseudo-GM. That's the obvious reason. But I think it's become very, very clear. Much more clear than it's ever been, much more so than in the 80s, when early 80s and mid 80s, when we were falling in love with it, and you were a little bit after that. Now you need a transcendent quarterback to win. If you don't have Brady, and I know he wasn't drafted first overall, I get that, barely even drafted. If you don't have Brady, if you don't have Mahomes, if you don't have Josh Allen to get you to the precipice and eventually to the championship and maybe win it, like, we know you have to have a superstar quarterback. And I think it's kind of flipped the narrative where it skewed our fandom, because the reality, and I believe it's like 89% of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are Hall of Famers. The numbers are the numbers.
Right.
And it's hard to ignore that. We know what the recipe is.
Understood. Josh Allen wasn't a top pick. Wasn't even top 10, three.
Though.
Yeah,
top 10.
But you could also trade into the top 10 without tanking.
Yeah, I get it.
Mahomes, not a top pick.
I'm just saying it's become a little more complex than maybe you give it credit for, bottom line statement.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that having the highest draft pick doesn't guarantee anything. So rooting for that, to me, is pointless. See where you are at the end of the year and then figure out, if you do need a quarterback and you love one, how you're moving up to get that quarterback or where you're taking one. If you look at the best teams in the AFC, Mahomes is not a top pick. You have, well, Houston, C.J. Stroud, obviously, you know, top two. What are you, number two overall?
Okay. Yeah, Lamar was barely drafted first round. I'll help you out a little bit. I got you.
Yeah, Lamar barely.
Herbert was top 10, but not top five.
Russell Wilson, third round. He's leading the division.
Yeah, Tua was before Herbert, remember?
Yeah, Tua, right.
Tua was before Herbert.
I know, but still one of the top picks. Like, Tua would more fit the tanking, or I feel like Tua, Herbert, Stroud maybe more fit the tanking argument, although even in those cases, not the number one pick. Burrow, clear number one pick, whatever, there you go.
Yep, Carson Palmer back in the day, tremendous.
Yeah, like, look, so it's not that you can't select a great quarterback with number one. And by the way, Carson Palmer never won a Super Bowl.
No, but he was very good before he got his knee busted up, and he wound up taking the Cardinals to the Super Bowl, winning some playoff games.
Right, they won some playoff games, but like, there's no guarantee.
I know.
So it doesn't mean, and with the Chiefs, like, they weren't saying, oh, let's tank for this guy, or oh, how are we going to get a quarterback? They just got one. They found one. They had the right coach in place. They did it. The Bills, the same. same thing. Both the Jets and Giants, the dopes that they are or were at the time, could have both had Josh Allen. Like, we didn't screw up once in New York. It wasn't just the Jets who passed on him or the Giants. It was both of the Jets and Giants both passed on Josh Allen, who's now lighting the league up with the Buffalo Bills and has been for quite some time.
He was a really hard guy to evaluate. I remember, I think my son was probably 12 months old. He was just yeah. young. I mean, I may have told you the story, so I'll keep it quick. And I'm getting ready. It's a Saturday, and Iowa is playing Wyoming.
Right.
And Josh Allen went to Wyoming. Yeah. And it's full chaos, like this baby mode, and the condo's a mess at this point, and breastfeeding and diapers. We're all drowning, right? And I basically go and lock myself in our bedroom. My wife's like, "Where are you going?" And I gotta scout this guy on TV the next day. Tops, the old TV show on CBS Sports Network. So I had to get my notes together. She's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, you go." And I watched Josh Allen every snap, right? And I remember coming on the show the next day on Sunday on TV, and then that Monday with Tiki on the radio. I'm like, I don't know about this guy. Like, his completion percentage was like 46%.
Right.
So he didn't play with many pros. That was the thing that you had to be able to look past. No pro wide receivers, no real pro talent around him. And you saw the gun, like he had a rocket, and you saw the big body. But there was such an unrefined element to his game that I can see why people looked at him and they weren't fully sure. I can honestly see that.
Understood, but that's not our jobs. We could guess. We
but others,
speculate.
Not just the Jets and Giants passed on him. Others passed on him.
I get it, but not too many others, and the Bills didn't. And the point is of the whole thing, yes, it's hard to evaluate that, but the point is you don't need the top pick or the top three picks to get that guy, maybe not even the top five. Look at what the Broncos did this year. Sean Payton, great head coach. He took Bo Nix, bottom of the first round, wherever it was exactly, and he's turned him into a winning quarterback.
Like, for sure.
So my point is you can root for Tommy DeVito to win some games for the Giants and just hope that you have the right guys in place in Shane and Dable that can identify the next great quarterback for this franchise, regardless of where they're picking.
Listen, phones are hot. I want to get back to you guys here. We want to get back to you. Just one more point. I agree. I definitely agree that there's no guarantees. I think what's appealing to me, when I've been in the situation, well, certainly most recent with the Jets, I thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be great. Then he's not. Yep. So, all right, that would have been 0-for-1, right? But when you're rooting for losses to justify your emotions and how you might fit on the draft board, while there's no guarantees, what's appealing to me is that I've got the power. At least I've got the power to trade out or select who I think, like, rather than having 3, 4, 5 teams in front of me define what I have to do, meaning I've got to give up multiple picks to move up to get somebody, or I got to hope that you whiff and somebody drops to me. That's otherwise I'm with you.
I get it.
I understand there's a lot of ways to get a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, well, but also logically what you're saying makes sense. I get it. Analytically what you're saying makes sense. As a sports fan for me, it doesn't make sense. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is calling from White Plains. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Good. So first thing I want to say is this is a team that we went from Dave Brown and Danny Cannell. I grew up during that area.
Yep.
And then Kent Graham. Kerry Collins come in and take us to a promised land. Still, my favorite game of all time was that NFC, the NFC Championship game in 2000. That stadium was rocking, and I've been to the Super Bowl. But I want to see Tommy DeVito take this team to 5-2 and actually do something here, because these quarterbacks, they don't grow on trees. We've been through this how many times? Was Eli a star?
No.
Or did he have two great runs and he's going to become a Hall of Famer because of it?
Right.
So I don't want Shador. I don't want Sanders. I want, if we're going to draft the quarterback, obviously Arch Manning is what comes to mind. But I can see Tommy DeVito being a bridge. Give the guy a shot. And let's see what happens. Let's see who's a player.
And that's what we're talking about, Chris. And thank you for the call. A couple of things you said that I agree with. The championship game is always, the home championship game is always better than the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's so awesome.
The Super Bowl is just like an exhibition.
Uh-huh.
So I understand what you're saying there. The other part of it, yes, you should be rooting for 5-2 for DeVito and being excited and going into the offseason. You'll figure out the draft, or they'll figure out the draft when that happens and where they're picking and what they need and who they're going to trade up for or trade back or whatever it may be. And you just unfortunately have to trust them. But as a fan, enjoy DeVito at 5-2, potentially BT, and then what he could be next year. Because then it could be, well, DeVito's going to be our starter, which is fun, which is exciting, which is good, while also waiting for the next guy to be the future of the franchise.
Yeah, and listen, if he shows enough, again, this is less a prediction about how he's going to do. I really don't know how he's going to do. I think he's going to be, well, I think at least as a baseline, he'll be functional. It's my hope that he's even better than last year because, you know, he's a little stronger, more confident. He's felt the speed of the game, blah, blah, blah. But, like, if he just wins a couple of games, what? Forget about having to take a quarterback in the top five. What it could do, if he shows enough, Sal, maybe it really enables the Giants to maybe take a flyer on a quarterback at 22.
Right, right.
Or somewhere in that neighborhood where there's less stress to make sure you hit it.
Yeah, and then they can watch them in their own system for a couple of years. Jerry is in Chester, New York. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. I kind of want you to listen to the last few minutes about having Tommy DeVito come out there, you know, try him out first the rest of the season, see how he does, which is fine. But like I said, I want Cam Ward. I just want Cam Ward. Plain and simple, I think every Giant fan either wants him. If we can't get Cam Ward, maybe wait a year, see how Tommy does, and get and maybe go for Arch Manning.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, Jerry, and thank you for the call.
I like Cam Ward too. I really do. Arch, I don't know.
Well, I mean, how do you project 2 years out?
You don't. That's why we can't wait on that. Yeah, but I mean, life's too short.
He's a Manning, and it's appealing, of course.
Yeah, for sure.
For many reasons, but. I mean, how do you rely on that? Right.
Well, hold
now,
on. By the way, Sal, the Giants are that bad, and they're able to pick Arch Manning first overall in 2026.
Dable and Shane will be fired.
I mean, he ain't going to be coached by Shane.
I wouldn't think so. Not if they're that bad again.
No.
Look, so that's why this is, I think, an interesting topic, BT, because the Giants realistically have a chance to have the number one overall pick. So there are going to be fans that say, hey, screw the fun this year. I want Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? What does it guarantee? Nothing. But it is realistic to think that that's on the table for the Giants potentially this year. You think the Jaguars are taking a quarterback?
No.
And so maybe they trade out of that.
They definitely will trade. Okay. I think the Raiders can move up. I think the Raiders are a team, from a Giants perspective, you got to worry about.
Yeah.
There's no way the Jaguars are taking a quarterback. They'd be idiots. They just gave Trevor Lawrence money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're definitely not. No way.
So
you have Tankathon up?
I just have the league standings.
All right, go ahead. Who's number two right now? The Giants, right?
Yeah, Giants.
Okay.
Now, again, I don't know if that's Tankathon or what, but this is just in the – I did the whole league standings. Jaguars are the worst team right now. And
that's
again,
amazing,
they're 2-9.
Uh-huh.
Giants
2.
Giants, Raiders, Titans, Browns.
Okay, hold on. Giants,
Raiders, Titans.
Titans, Browns.
All 2-8.
Raiders definitely taking a QB. Titans definitely looking for a QB. Browns should be hunting a QB. Matter of fact, once the Jets get rid of Rodgers, I think that's the one spot. Browns.
Yeah, well, Jets are
3-8. For Rodgers. They got talent. Yeah, I mean,
maybe then they should do what the Jets. I think if the Jets let go of Rodgers, I think it would be a mistake at this point for the exact reason you just said with Cleveland. But if Cleveland hires the right head coach, a win now coach, then maybe that's a spot for him. Anyway, it's interesting where the Giants are at versus with Tommy DeVito and having some fun. BT and Sal, sometimes you got to shoot your shot.
That's
right.
I just heard a story, and you definitely took your shot. You shot it. Back rim, barely an air ball. Almost an air ball, but you shot it.
Now, would you rather that, and we don't have to get into specifics.
We won't.
But would you rather, although a part.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Or we really want. So I think I mentioned this before. Yeah.
No, we can't.
So would you rather take your shot and even like looking back in hindsight and be like, it wasn't my best shot, or like I was kind of not, I don't want to say out of line, because I don't think anything I did was out of line, but I just wasn't. I didn't know what I was up against, is the way I would say it. I was really taking a shot out of my league.
All right, I without giving away too much, and then I'll answer the question.
Yeah.
We're talking about an A-lister at this point, right?
Yes,
is that a fair assessment?
Back then, yes.
Back then, she was not an A-lister.
Correct. Somebody in the media.
Okay.
Back then, not an A-lister.
Okay. So
I at least thought we were on equal footing.
Exactly. And then her career took off, and he got stuck with me. All right, so I would say that, let me just dumb it down to the most basic boiling point, respect. You shot for you.
Yeah, okay.
You shot.
Right.
Maybe a little bit clunky in the attempt, maybe not the best mechanics. It wasn't exactly a Steph Curry fluid release, but you took a shot. Maybe more like Sean Marion. Hey, but he could shoot. It didn't look good, but went in.
He was efficient.
Yep, I respect that you did that.
Rather,
I really do.
You'd rather do that.
You walk away all these years. Anytime she pops up on TV, you can say, as you just said to me, because I already knew that story, but it came back up. You shot. Which is what a grown man does.
But like, I just didn't know what I was up against.
Well, you know, then when you took the shot that you really wanted to make, your wife, you know how to shoot.
That was layup. At that point, I started shooting within my range.
Halftime adjustment.
I realized this one way wasn't working. I got to adjust some things up here.
Let me get to tapping. Forget about Phil Mickelson from 30 feet out. Let me tap it in with my big toe. You took the shot. That's great. That's awesome.
Get back to the phones before I get myself in trouble.
Oh,
God. I'll be out there again taking more shots. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Scott is in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Scott,
hey, what's up, guys? Listen, I just want to say, listen, I mean, I'm a Giant fan for life. God said my team is losing, but I'm not sold on this Tommy DeVito thing. And this is not going to be selling us to the fact that what would happen at the end of the year if we stayed with Daniel Jones. And we could have started him at the beginning of the year because nobody out there is a quarterback coming up. So, look, I'm just saying that at this point, listen, the people bigging this guy up, I hope he does well, but I'm not sold on it. You know, I'm not sold at all.
So, understood. By the way, Scott, I don't think anybody's sold. Do you think it would have been, at least from your perspective about seeing what you have for next year, Drew Lock would have been more interesting or no?
No, maybe not, but I'm just saying, what would be the difference of going with Daniel Jones at the end of the year?
He can get hurt.
Right, and then you would start DeVito.
No, but then you're on the hook for $23.5 million guaranteed next year.
Yeah.
So they had to avoid that.
Also, Scott, I mean, I think there's a mix of what people want. Like, what do you want? As a Giants fan, what do you want to see the rest of the year?
Okay, listen, if he goes out there and get his behind handed to him, then what are you going to say?
No, Scott, I'm just asking you a question. Seriously, as a Giants fan, what do you want to see the rest of the way?
I want to see, listen, I mean, look at it. I want to see the defense be able to stop somebody.
Well, do you want to see them win games?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think DeVito has more of a chance of winning than Daniel Jones?
Yes. At this point, I do, and that's the important question, and thank you for the call. At this point, I do, and I also believe they do as well, because regardless of what we thought Jones was or what we thought he could be, they played 10 games. Mm. They are 2-8 with him as a starter. And it's not just about the missed flea flicker. Like, there are many examples. It's not all on Jones.
Yep.
But clearly, he has not gotten the job done. You had to change it up.
There's no question. I mean, listen, let's just say the Giants are losing 17. I don't expect this, but let's say they fall behind 17-0 on Sunday, right? I mean, that would be everything okay?
Yeah, just making sure I didn't get any text messages.
I saw you looking at your phone. I see your reaction. Did you get one?
No, I was like cringing, hoping I didn't get one. Yeah. And I got one from Roscona. He goes, "That was good."
There you go. Does he know who it is?
I don't think so.
Okay, gotcha. He's going to really like it when he finds out.
I was hoping it wasn't my wife.
I've been there too. Yeah. It's not her. She didn't hear that segment.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say the Giants are losing 17-0. I don't think that they will be, but say if they are, what would excite me more, or 13? I would pick a score where it's still there, like they're hanging around, you're not getting blown out, but it's not looking good. Would I rather see Daniel Jones get his team in the end zone and be emotionless, or DeVito score a touchdown and fist pump and the place get loud? I'd rather see the latter.
Yeah.
It might not change the big picture, but there's just an insurgence and of energy that's needed. They've been a corpse.
It's really a difficult question to answer when you say, okay, well, which quarterback of the three gives them the best chance to win football games? Because the one who we all thought, even though I don't like Daniel Jones, the quarterback, the one who we all thought going into the year, like if I asked you that before the year, and we did have this conversation.
100 times, yeah.
The answer was...
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
if I asked you going into the season, which of the three Giant quarterbacks gives you the best chance to win games?
I thought it was Jones.
100%.
Going in, no question.
So as much as we dismissed Jones, like going in, there was no question. If I ask you that now, what's your answer?
I might say DeVito because of the energy, which lead to an uptick in performance around the board.
Well, right. Or somebody could
say... I'm about to say Jones.
Well, somebody might still say Jones, but I don't think there's a definitive answer, which is why, like, you could... Some could say still Daniel Jones, and I could say, okay, I understand why you'd say that.
Yep.
But here's the evidence, 10 weeks of why that was proven incorrect.
I understand what you're saying.
So now let's find out what the next guy can do.
I think the only debate is, why isn't the next guy Drew Lock? I think the answer is because the other guy is from New Jersey and the owner wants a few people in the seats and he wants a little bit of a different vibe around his team. Let's not be dummies here. That's got to be part of it. But no, I don't think you can say right now that this move is without justification. You know, nobody's saying he's going to be amazing and an all-time Giant, but it's not like this is a cavalier move by the Giants. Right. Daniel Jones wasn't very good. On the lowest level, DeVito was interesting and competent a year ago. Let's see where we are now.
Right, so they had to make a change. It's just a matter of why DeVito versus Locke, and I think we all know the answer to that. He's more entertaining, more exciting, and we still don't know. There's going to be an evaluating going on with Tommy DeVito.
100%. Back to these calls, guys.
Now, time for Game Time Without Boomer Esiason with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, here we go, a little game time. I just opened up a fresh box of 1994-95 Series 1 NBA basketball
cards.
We have not done basketball ever.
Let me see that.
Time.
That's a pretty sweet setup.
It actually wasn't really cheap either. You would think some of these are dirt cheap, but they get paid $60-something dollars
really?
Or whatever on eBay. Yeah, a little while ago.
Who's on the cover of that? Barclay? Who?
Penny Hardaway.
Oh, Penny. Lil Penny. And Tyra hanging at the crib.
I think that's Weber and Mullins.
See Webb? Let me see. Hold on.
Weber and Mullins for Golden State on air?
Where's my boy Mully at? That is Mully, and that looks like C. Webb, and that's Penny Hardaway.
Here we go. Not bad. All right, so let's go. If any year, I feel like this would be good. All right, I'll start us off.
Boy, I haven't.
I know. Just basketball names. It's just.
Yeah, no. I mean, I expect to get some.
I know the point is the baseball cards. Everybody had baseball cards, but we also know sports names. So whether it's football or basketball,
this.
Let's just see what we got here.
I'd like to do 4 hours of this, actually. How fun would that be?
All right, we'll do another podcast of that. And why can't I open this damn pack? A card. There we go.
Ah.
Harder to open. All right. First one. First one's an all-star.
You got to get a gimmick ready like they do in the WWE with the chairs. You got to have it ready for when you go on the air.
I know. And get a gimmick. You're right. Okay. Right? First one's an all-star, but you can name the team of this all-star player.
So we're doing same thing. Teams.
Yeah, same thing. I'll name the player. You name the team. But instead of passing the all-star card, we'll keep it.
94-95. Gotcha.
David Robinson.
All right. Come on, dude.
Well, I'm just giving you the name.
Right, Spurs.
Figure I'd give you a layup.
I'll take the layup there.
Here's a good one. This card is... You got something there, Hoff?
No, just to confirm. Is Tops or Fleer?
This is Tops.
Okay.
Why? Cool. What's the difference?
Does it matter?
Actually, no, it does. I mean, Fleer is awesome. Fleer was awesome back in the day, too.
No, but it wouldn't impact the teams.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what type of pulls we're going to get.
Tops. Ooh. This is Tops.
He's trying to determine if he's going to steal it and he's going to go into our office
that's
later.
Not bad.
That's beautiful presentation. Very smooth.
Okay.
One for one.
Bobby Hurley. See, this is why I love this.
What year is this?
94-95. Now, remember, the 94-95 card...
That's definitely the Kings. He was with the Kings for a couple years at this point.
Correct. Now, check this card out, though.
Oh, Bob. You know what? I need
this
card.
Yeah, you can have that. Yeah. Now, look at the card. Tell me.
Oh, Greg Anthony playing a little defense there. He's number 50.
Isn't that sick?
This is fantastic. Can I tell you a quick aside?
Yeah.
So, the night that Bobby Hurley got in the car accident, I was in college. I think I was my second year? Maybe second.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come home from being out. And I fell asleep to the fan, even up there. And I got it very staticky. And that's how I heard that Bobby Hurley was in that massive car wreck on the fan up in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah, terrible. Now, what do you, like, you know Bobby Hurley?
I know his dad pretty well. I've had Bobby on a few times.
Okay.
Danny's the only one I've never really talked to. I've had Bobby on a bunch.
All right,
great
check
guy.
It out. Check it out.
He's intense. He's nuts.
We got some great names here.
In a good way.
Wesley Pearson. Oh, excuse me, Person.
Oh, Person was on the Suns at this
point.
There you go.
There you go, BT.
Yeah, come on, man.
Excuse my eyes here.
Worst person. He was a sniper.
Isaiah.
I think he wore socks high. Maybe not. Maybe I'm reaching now. Anyway. Sorry.
Now, this is an all-star card, but he was with this team anyway during this all-star year. Isaiah Ryder.
Oh, it's got to be the Timberwolves at this point.
There you go.
Isaiah Ryder.
Action. Oh,
yeah,
God.
This is good.
What a pack this is.
This is good.
You're going to love this one.
Let's go. Can we get this sponsored finally?
You're going to love this
four
one. Ready?
Four, of course.
Detlef Schrempf.
Oh, Detlef. So, 90 Pacers at this point.
Whoa!
No?
Seattle? Yes.
No.
Yeah, dude. Seattle Sonics.
When did he go to the Pacers? The Knicks played against him all the time.
Yeah.
Was he dealt that year?
That's what I'm saying. Before, remember, this is 94, 90 Topps cards, but it was from really 93, 94.
That's a tricky one, but take the loss on that, but begrudgingly. Four for five.
Steve Smith.
These are fantastic. Oh, Stevie Smith from Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I know that. Okay, hold on. Steve Smith was definitely on that Hawks team that the Knicks beat when the Hawks had to play where the Falcons played in the second round of the playoffs in 99. Was Steve Smith on, and I know Steve was with Portland for a little bit.
It's the team that drafted him.
Yeah. I don't think he was drafted by the Hawks. I'm not going to say the Hawks. Am I? Hold on.
Nice deal.
No.
You know this one, Hoff? A rare one that even,
hold on a second.
Have you known these names?
Dallas Mavericks.
No.
Steve Smith?
Yeah.
Dallas Mavericks.
Go back to bed.
No, not in these.
You say Steve Nash.
Steve Smith.
Yes, Steve Smith.
No, none of the Mavericks.
Yeah, no. I don't know if you ever played for the Mavericks, but no, not on this card.
Yeah. Was he on that Portland team later with
the
Trailblazers?
I could hear Hurley cringing. Just get to
Hawks.
It. Heat.
Oh,
yeah.
Wasn't
you don't remember him with the Heat?
I do. I just don't remember that year, no.
Kenny Gattison.
Damn it. Kenny Gattison. That was Kenny Gatling. I see a Warriors, but I don't think that that's right.
This one I don't remember.
That's a tough one here. Kenny Gattison. Can you give me Eastern Conference or Western Conference? He was in the East here. So, Kenny Gattison. Cavaliers maybe at that
Hornets.
Point? Hornets. Okay.
Chris Mullin.
Oh, my boy Mullin.
You want this card too?
I do. I absolutely give it to you
after
want
you,
that one.
After you guess the name of the team.
Why?
Yeah, give me the name.
Let's see. So, hold on. I got to make sure I get screwed by the year.
Well,
hold on. Drafted in 85, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 192. It should be the Pacers.
Oh.
It should be. It's going to say the Warriors. It should have been. When did he go?
You should have gotten that one. Oh, here's a good one.
No, I should have got. I think that he was on. It's based on the year.
I get it. Sherman Douglas.
I think Sherm was on the Heat at this point.
Oh.
He played the Nets.
Celtics.
He was all over the place, Sherm.
Yeah, you're right. Started with the Heat.
Sherm was good. Sherm was an Celtics. Underrated pro.
Yes.
You look at some of her Sherm. Forget about it, Syracuse. Some of his stats. Like, he had some years where he averaged like 9, 10 dimes in the NBA. Sherm was good.
All right, couple more here.
Yeah, good.
Loy Vaught. Never heard of him.
Loy Vaught was a big man. I think he played collegiately in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. Is that on the back of the card?
Yes, Loy you're Vaught? Correct. Yeah. So that was the right player.
I think I'm going to get this one wrong, but I'm going to say the Clippers.
Good call. He is a Clipper.
Nice.
Yes, good pull.
There you go.
There's doubles there.
Mm.
Doubles of that, so you know that one. Last one. Nate McMillan.
Nate Dogg. He was with the Sonics.
Yeah.
Nate Dogg. Dogg in the hands.
The ones you got right there.
All right. This is fun. I want to do hoops every single time.
And I like the hoops ones. Maybe this is better than football.
Think? We knew nothing.
Yeah, I know. Football. Some random lineman.
How many would you have gotten? Would you have done well on this pack?
I don't know. Next time I'll go.
Okay.
You can give me the pack next time. But yes, I'm familiar with the names outside of probably Gattison.
Loy Vaught, you didn't know.
Vaught, I had no
idea.
Would you
have gotten Steve Smith with the Heat?
I don't know.
Because he played for a couple different the Portland Blazers, the Hawks. Like, he bounced around a little bit.
I might have guessed Hawks.
Yeah.
Usually with these, it's the first name that comes to, or the first team that comes to mind when you hear the name.
This was fun.
I can't tell. All right, that does
it for
this week. I got
to apologize to my boy, Molly. Molly, I don't know how I got that wrong. That's my bad. That's awful.
You had the clue.
I was overthinking it.
You looked at the top of the box. It had
stage fright.
It happens. All right, 888-808-1019. Josh is in Far Rockaway. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
What's going on, buddy?
I just wanted to tell you, I want to thank you. I met you a few months ago at that bar by the Garden. I think it was the day St. John's opened. You guys are really nice. You took pictures. You talked for a little bit.
Over at Stout right before the Big East tournament. I was great there.
Yeah,
awesome.
I was working around the corner. I popped in. You guys are really nice.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. That was awesome to have you.
That was
What's
fun.
Up, Josh?
Yeah, it was really awesome. So listen, as I'm a big Giants fan, but I'm really rooting for them to lose every game. I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm less worried about the first overall pick or the 7th or the 10th. I mean, once it's in the first round, everything's a toss-up. But when I look at the last 25 years, everyone likes to pull out three names: Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. So yes, it can happen, but it's normally it's not how it happens. So like Sal, you said you want to win games, you like the guy move up. Hey, they tried it last year. They found the guy. They loved him. And guess what? They couldn't move up. So like, I just feel like it's like they have to finally just tank the right way. Like, what did it do for me that Tommy DeVito won a very exciting game against the Packers? It cost us a good quarterback, and now we're not in the path. It's like force-feeding your kid medicine when they don't want it.
All right, hold on, Josh. But let me give you – I get you. Let me just give you a little bit of a different approach here. And I really do hear you on most levels here. But you said specific to the Packers game, when DeVito played well and you guys beat Jordan Love, what does it really do for you now? Well, what it does do – certainly what it does do literally is that – it gave the Giants enough evidence that he was worth keeping around, and potentially if he plays very well these next 7 games, maybe this grows into a story that nobody envisioned, and if he didn't play well against the Packers and he had 3 picks, maybe he's on the street now. I mean, I know I'm pushing it forward.
Right, but there's a flip side to that. So why not start him 5 weeks ago?
I don't have the answer.
When it actually could have meant something. Yeah. I'm not saying you should tank if you have the 20th pick and you can move to the 15th, but why do it now when it's already dead? You're just going to screw everything up. He's probably not the guy. These guys are usually not the guy. So why not give him a real shot?
Well, this is a real shot for him, Josh, and thank you for the call. The reason why you didn't do it 5 weeks ago, or why they didn't do it 5 weeks ago, is they were still trying to save the season, and they believed Daniel Jones was the best quarterback to win games right now. Obviously, that didn't work, and now they're not, I don't know if I don't want to, like, they're obviously trying to win games, but they also, I mean, look, they've tried to win games for the first 10 weeks and it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that all of a sudden DeVito's going to come in and they're going to win games, but what they're doing at bare minimum is giving excitement to an otherwise dead fan base while evaluating what they have in Tommy DeVito. There's no harm in that. It still might result in excitement, evaluating DeVito, and losing. And then maybe
That's true. I
wouldn't recommend rooting for them to lose. Like, I want to see him play well. But if they lost these games, you're not going to get mad. And as long as he's playing these games, there is an entertainment, exciting aspect to it.
Yep.
So, like, I think they're trying to thread the needle a little bit. But the reality is you can't do this 5 weeks ago when the season was still on the line.
I agree. Now's the time to do it. Let me give this a little throw in the hopper. So, 7 games to go. They're big dogs this week. They'll be at least dogs, slight dogs, Thanksgiving. How many of the remaining 7, even though Dallas stinks, how many of the remaining 7 games do you think they will be underdogs in? 6?
Probably the majority of them. Colts at home, Aints at home. I mean, those would maybe be the only swing games. They're not going to be favored in Atlanta.
No.
Not going to be favored over the Ravens. Not going to be favored in Philadelphia,
Rams,
regardless of the situation. Where's the Rams?
Not the Rams.
They got the Bucks. They got the Bucks where they're, what, 6-point underdogs?
0-1.
In Dallas?
0-2.
They're not going to be favored in Dallas?
They'll be slight dogs. I mean, it's going to be a slight lean Dallas.
Home against the Saints?
Depending upon how they play in these next two, that could be a pick, but I still think it's going to be Saints,
also,
actually.
Yeah.
Small favorite Saints.
Saints also been better.
0-3.
Ravens?
0-4.
At Atlanta?
0-5.
Home against the Colts?
Possibly, depending upon what happens there. If the Colts are playing for something, maybe one right there.
And at Philly.
Okay, so one. Unless Philly can sit everybody down, which maybe they could, whatever, they still wouldn't be favored.
Maybe Dallas, but again, who knows?
They're not going to be favored in Dallas. They're not going to be. Now, maybe if it's 1.5 or 2, and you try to incentivize, you know, some action both ways, so you cash out on the VIG, but it's not. They're not going to be favored in Dallas on Thanksgiving. They're not, even if they play well against Tampa. My point is, they're going to be dogged 6 of the last 7 games, possibly all of them, right? If they go, just throwing it out there, 5-2 or even 4-3, all right, which is probably more likely than 5-2, even though it's still fairly unlikely, unless DeVito turns into Marino, part of the reason they're going to win 4 or 5 of those games in this hypothetical I present you is because the other guys are doing really well.
Right.
And that would bode well for the future.
Right.
So, like, would that usurp being 3 or 4 spots higher in the draft? Like, what's more appealing, to have the 4th overall pick and still maybe not have a quarterback access to a quarterback that you love, or draft 11th but finish with a bang and suddenly the young kids are cooking and it's like, oh, okay, you get Andrew Thomas back next year, you get Kayvon Thibodeau back, like maybe we're a little bit better than we thought.
Also, now this is Tankathon instead of the standings. So right now it would be number 1, Jacksonville, number 2, Tennessee, number 3, Cleveland, number 4, the Giants. Okay, that's
all tiebreakers incorporated there.
Yep, exactly. So this is like the official, if it were to end today, the draft order.
Okay.
Jacksonville probably, I shouldn't say probably, we don't know, there's still 7 weeks to go, whatever, but there's a chance Jacksonville ends up with that number one pick.
Yes, and, I still wouldn't, yeah, I'd probably say no, but yeah, there's still a chance.
Well, who do you think's going to end up with
that number one pick? Maybe the
Raiders. All right, well, whatever. There's a chance Jacksonville will have that top pick. And if they do, they're likely going to trade, likely, who knows what's really going to happen. But that's maybe an avenue for the Giants to trade up to that number one spot. So you can, there is a way to move up. Somebody's going to do it. And I really believe the Giants could have traded up last year with New England. Again, I don't know the inner workings. I could be totally wrong on that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it just seemed like it would have taken a ton to get him, where the Giants didn't have the appetite to give up a ton to get Drake May.
How about this? I'm going to incorporate the other team who's a mess in town.
Yeah.
How about the Giants? Let's say the Jaguars finish first and the Giants finish fourth.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going one of two ways. Let's say the Giants and the Jaguars make a trade, but it's just draft slots, right?
Yeah.
Well, number two, how about the Jaguars and the Giants make a trade and Trevor Lawrence goes to the Giants?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Trevor Lawrence goes to the Giants, and then because the Jaguars are not picking a quarterback right now. There's no chance.
I mean, the
zero
chance. The thought process, Jaguars, like the Bears did with Justin Fields, trade him and 100%. Take Caleb Williams. Yeah, that's possible, too.
Or why can't the Jets get on the phone and say, hey, you want to trade Trevor? I mean, if you're a Jet, I mean, that's a deeper conversation down the road. We could actually do it. On first glance, from a Jets perspective, appealing to it?
Yes, it would be.
Trevor Lawrence to the Jets.
With the right quarterback?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would take a flyer. 100%. BT and Sal on the fan. More your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.